Acts chapter 13. God is good all the time, and he uses all things to the good of those who love him. Do I get an amen to that? He uses all things to the good of those who love him. God is good. You know what? We've been talking, going through the book of Acts, and we've made it up chapter 13. We're going to be especially focusing in on verses 4 through 12. We saw last week how God is the one who calls people out to special areas of service. He gives us, first of all, the calling to be saved, to give our life to Jesus, and then the special areas of service. He gives us special gifts. And he's also the one who reveals these callings. And so as they had prayed and fasted before the Lord, those who were the teachers and prophets in Antioch, which was a new church start, just a year before this, and many people had raised up to be teachers and prophets in the church, and it has them listed here. And so they were able to continue on the teaching of the church there. And so they said, as they prayed and fasted, that God had impressed upon their heart, that the Holy Spirit literally had impressed upon their heart, and they all agreed that it was time to send Barnabas and Paul out, that they were going to send them out for the work of the Lord to continue to plant churches. And so they prayed and fasted some more, and they laid hands on them, and then sent them away. Immediate obedience there. And we find that whenever we obey God, we find his pleasure and his presence and his power. And so that was what we mainly studied on last week. And then we see as they go out, we're going to pick it up as Paul and Barnabas are on their way, and they're going. I want you to know something, guys. Even when you're in the center of God's will, you're going to come upon some challenges. Do I get an amen to that? There's going to be challenges in our lives. In fact, Jesus promised us this. He said if they hated him, they're going to hate us too when we represent him, because they hated him first. So don't be surprised. And in fact, there's some other things that we learned from this. We also learned that Jesus also said, in your life or in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So what we got to understand in all of this is God is able to deal with anything that we come upon. He is able to deal with it. And not only that, he's able to remove distractions, and he's also able, in other people's lives that we're ministering to use those distractions actually to help build up their faith. And so, like, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but sometimes, like, whenever I'm ministering to somebody's life and I'm praying for them, and then things seem to get worse. Have you ever experienced that? You're praying for somebody and you say, God, whatever it takes, I want you to do this to get their attention. And then all of a sudden, it seems like something from our perspective, really terrible hate, happens to them. And you're like, now wait a minute, God, maybe you didn't hear my prayer. No, God heard our prayer. In fact, that may be, very well be the answer. It may be at least a part of the answer. And so what we need to do is keep believing. We need to keep praying. And we need to see God work. So don't get discouraged whenever it doesn't seem to be turning out exactly like we think it's going to. So now they've sent these two guys out. Man, they're going to go out. They're going to take the world by storm, right? Let's see what happens. Excuse me. Starting at verse 4 in chapter 13 of Acts. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, who sent them out? The Holy Spirit sent them out. God himself sent them out. They went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. And when they had gone through the island to Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus. Sounds like a bad guy, doesn't he? A sorcerer. He may have been a Jew by descent, but he wasn't really a Jew by faith, right? He was practicing like magic or black magic of some sort, probably into astrology and things of that nature. Do we see any of that in today's culture? Absolutely. It still is recirculating around. And it's still bad in God's eyes. I want us to know that. In verse 7, who was the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, as we've discussed here today, many times we know that you're working and we know that you've sent us and we know all these things while the light is still bright. And then we hit those dark moments, we have opposition, we begin to doubt. I pray we'll be more like Paul here, more like Saul, as we know of as Paul, who just continued in the faith. In fact, he rebuked the evil that he saw, not the man, but the evil that was behind him. And it did affect the man, but what we see is you used it. Dare I say, you use all things to your glory. We just need to trust you. So help us, help our faith to be built up today as we look at your word. Help us not to think something strange is happening in us whenever we see things that are not going the way we would like them to, either in our life or the life of somebody we're praying for. But help us to know you're still at work and you can use it all. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, as we think about being thankful, I'm thankful today that God is able to use all things. Amen? He uses all things. So you know, let's think about this just a little bit. The first step in all of this to have the power of God is that obedience. So we've got real obedience here. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went. They went. How often do we feel like maybe God's sending us out somewhere? You know, I'm talking just to the neighbor across the street. How many times do we talk ourselves out of it? Have you ever done that? God says it. We're sure he said it. We might even tell our brother or sister in the faith or our wife or our husband, I'm sure God said it. And then all of a sudden, we can find a gazillion reasons why not to do it. Have you ever been there? Yep. How do you think that affects the whole situation of our relationship with the Lord? And then we're wondering why we don't have any power from God whenever we go to do something. And we're like, all right, but I'd rather do this over here. So then we go over there to do this over here. But that wasn't what God called us to. And guess what? We feel really empty, drained, alone, depressed. And we find all these emotions to fall into. When in reality, maybe we should have just done what God told us in the first place. Amen? I'm getting a weak amen on this one. Okay, let's think about the Israelites, for instance. All right, this isn't in your notes. This is just something God's bringing to my mind right now. How many years did they wander around in the desert? Can anybody tell me before they went to the Promised Land? They went, right? Huh? Okay, 40 years. They left Egypt and they wandered around the desert for 40 years. Do you know how long that trip actually was if they just went straight to the Promised Land? 11 days. 11 days. Why did it turn into a 40-year journey? Because they wouldn't obey when God brought them to the border. And I'll just go ahead and I'll kind of summarize and tell you a little bit more of the story. If you haven't read this yet, that's cool. Go read it and read it. You need to read the whole Bible, but you can read this in Exodus about their story. And what you find is, see, they went to the border and they sent in 12 spies. There were 12 tribes of Israel. They had one spy for each tribe and they sent them in. And they said, assess the land and come back and tell us what we need to know. They came back and they said, man, there's grape clusters that takes two men to carry. This place really is a land flowing with milk and honey. This is an amazing place, abundance like you've never seen before. But the people are huge. They're giants. They make us feel like grasshoppers. So out of those 12 spies, 10 of them voted no about going in. Only two said, Caleb and Joshua said, yeah, we can do it because God's with us. Yeah, the people are big. They're a lot bigger than us, but we believe God can do this. You know, that disobedience caused them to have to wander for 40 years until all those other guys died. Only Joshua and Caleb got to go in. And here's the deal, and all of those of that generation who were younger whenever they came into the wilderness in the first place, who had not shown that disobedience. But then, like the next day, they got to feeling bad about it. And they said, well, you know, that was probably wrong for us to say no, so we're going to go ahead and do it. We're going to go try to take the land. We'll just do it on our own. We're going to show God. What do you think? Were they successful? No. They failed horribly, miserably, guys. That's, dare I say, what a lot of us do in the flesh. We'll tell God no. We'll tell God maybe. We'll tell God later. Those are all disobedience. And then, all of a sudden, we get to thinking on our own, maybe we ought to go ahead and do something anyways, and we do something and we fail because we don't have the power of God. We need the power of God to do anything. Jesus said, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. Abiding in God is obeying God. Do I get an amen? It's got to be stronger than the last one. Come on. Amen. Come on. Amen. All right, we're getting better. We need to obey God.
Amen.
Thank you. That's good. All right, that's a strong amen. I'm happy on that one because, guys, then you say, well, what do I know about what he's saying? Read the Bible. Pray. Let God lead you. And then do what he says. You'll never go wrong. So, being sent, they went. So we had obedience. And this is a pattern that you'll find in a Christian's life, okay? New Christian comes to the Lord. You lead him to the Lord. They obey. They accept Jesus. Here's the very next thing that's going to happen. Every time. I'm just telling you. Every time. And even for that Christian that's been going for a long time, we begin to realize this just happens. I'm ready to obey. I start to obey. And then something happens immediately. And it's this next slide. Distraction! Distraction! Has anybody ever felt distractions before when you're trying to serve the Lord? How about when you just sat down to pray? And you say, all right, you know, I'm not really good at this prayer thing, but I'm going to take 5 minutes even to just sit down and pray. What happens? Telephone rings. Somebody comes looking for you. You start thinking about all the things you need to do. Maybe I'm the only one that happens to. I see a few nodding. Guys, here's the deal. It'll wait. Don't let yourself be distracted. And I see it a million times around the church. People will say, I'm going to do such and such for the Lord, and I'm sure he's telling me to do this. And then all kinds of distractions break free in their life.
It'll happen someday, right?
Exactly. And we think, well, eventually I'll get around to it. Well, somebody last year, my old pastor from the church I used to go to, gave me a round to it. I've got it now. So that means I can go ahead and do all those things I was planning to do. Yeah, that was a joke. All right. So I got the round to it now. I don't have to get distracted anymore. But here we've got Paul and Barnabas, and they're going in. They find this guy. They see somebody that's interested in the Lord, and this certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. All right? He's even, like, distorting the name of the Messiah, right? He's distorting it. He's, like, saying, I'm the son of Jesus or something like that. Son of Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. You see, this guy is an antichrist, a type of an antichrist. There's many antichrists. Now, there's going to be one main antichrist that's going to fit the role in Revelation, you know, and right before the return of Jesus. But here's the deal. There's a lot of them out there. And we don't just look at the people. What we look at is there's a spirit behind them that wants to use them to distract us from Jesus. And so this guy is inspired by Satan. He's practicing the things that Satan has showed him and enjoys the things of sorcery and being a false prophet. So he's falsely using God's words. Do you think there's any of those out there today, church? They're all over the place. And some of them look like angels of light, but we need to test it all against the Word of God before we listen and take part in what they're saying. But this guy here just winds up being a total distraction. He comes into the scene and he won't shut up. And every time this proconsul begins to really entertain this thing, this distraction keeps pulling it away. Now remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. it tells us in Ephesians. But we wrestle against these principalities and these rulers of darkness. And so that's who's behind this sorcerer. But Elymas the sorcerer, a couple verses down, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. He had a purpose in his distractions. And it was because Satan has a purpose in those distractions. But I want you to know, take heart, for Jesus has overcome the world. And so rather than trying to deal with this just with the strength of his own might, we've had the obedience, we've got the distraction, now we come back to obedience again. This is how we get past the distractions, church. It's through obedience. And so then Paul, he just remembered, hey, I was called here to do this. I've got the power of God to do this. All I really need to do is call on the power of God to remove the distraction. And so that's exactly what he does. So then Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, oh, full of all deceit and all fraud. He just called the truth the truth. He called it what it was. He said, you're a fraud. This guy is like saying the opposite of everything he's saying, trying to confuse this proconsul. And so he's saying, you're a fraud. And it wasn't just him that was the power here. Remember, if we please God, if we are obedient, we feel the pleasure of God, which invites the presence of God in a manifest way, which gives us the power of God. And so we've got Paul here who has the power of God. And God said, this guy's a phony. He's a fake. Listen to the words that he's saying. He's a distraction. Now call him out for what he is. And I'm sure he did it with all Christian love. Really. He had love in his heart when he did this. In fact, I'm sure he would have loved for Elymas to be the first one to be the one to repent. Amen? But he called it what it was. We need to stop mamby-pamby-ing around with sin. If it's sin, it's sin, and that's all there is to it. We don't have to hate anybody over it, but we need to call it what it is. And he said, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? So this man was speaking the opposite of what God says. And Paul called it out for what it was, and then he pronounces this judgment on him. And well, I don't think it was Paul who thought this thing up. I think God said, I'm going to make him blind for a while. And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. He had the distraction. After the first obedience, it was followed up with more obedience, which is the right response. And now we see the truth that comes out of the matter. You see, now, Paul could have said those words and it wouldn't have meant nothing, but you see, God was really in it. And so the truth is what came out of it. Everything serves God in the end. Even that guy's actions winds up serving God in the end. The only problem is, unless Elymas was really repented, he was going to be the only loser in the deal. Because you see, his rebellion and his opposing of God wound up getting displayed to display God's glory even more whenever God dealt with it. And we know, guys, here it is, Romans 8:28, my favorite life verse. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Let's read that verse together because I really want it to soak into you. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Guys, those are the only two things you ever need to worry about really in life. If you're called according to his purpose, you're doing what he's calling you to do, and that you just keep loving God. When the bad stuff hits, all you got to do is just keep loving God, and you know it's going to turn out for your good. If you turn against God then, you can't claim that promise. You just need to keep loving him. You know, I watched my brother-in-law step out to follow the Lord some 7-8 years ago or somewhere in there, and I also saw him 3 years ago whenever he got pronounced with cancer that was going to be, it was terminal. And they told him. And we prayed for God to heal him, and God decided not to heal him this side of heaven. He healed him in heaven instead. And the thing of it was, Scott was faced with a choice. Does God really still love me? Then I'm going to keep following him. And he did. You know, 2 years before his death, he was in Panama on a mission trip serving the Lord, knowing that he had the cancer. Not protecting, just trying to protect this life on earth only, but he was wanting to live it for Jesus so it would make a statement. And I was at the funeral whenever well over 100 people, probably a couple hundred people or more were there to testify of how much Scott's life had touched theirs and inspired them as well to follow the Lord. Guys, I think that's just a good example that I see in my life of just remembering that distraction of that cancer, that wasn't the bigger issue. The bigger issue for Scott was to finish well. No matter what it is in your life, I don't know what kind of struggle you may be dealing with today. You may have a big one in your life. You know, it could be something to self-inflicted. It could be something coming from the outside. It could be a sickness. It could be whatever. I don't know. It could be just bad thoughts. It could be a lot. It could be just feeling some rebellion in your heart or whatever it is. I want you to know God will conquer that thing. You just need to obey. Don't get distracted. And if you see a distraction, come obey some more. Obey what you know. Some people say, well, I don't know what God's will is for me. Well, is it his will for you to pray and read the Bible? Okay, then start there. Just start there. Is it his will for you to love him and to love your neighbors yourself? Start there. Is it his will for you to be in church and be with other believers? Start there. Just keep going one step after another. You know, he inspires your heart to do something else. Do it as you go with him. And I'm telling you, that's where we find it. You see, we've got the obedience, distraction, obedience, truth. And then we see distraction removed. And the enemy was even used. So people will ask me, Pastor, why does the devil still exist? Because he's still proven God's goodness in this world. You know, it isn't that God really is in favor of everything that he does, but God will use everything he does. It's amazing how he does that. God is an amazing God, and he is totally able. So after all this goes down, Acts 13:12, the proconsul believed. Amen? We'll see him in heaven. After he saw what it had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. See, all that distraction did was prove out that God is able. Prove out that Paul was really of God. So in summary, what's our take home from this? As we serve the Lord, the enemy will send distractions. Do I get an amen? He's going to do it every chance he can. He even did it to Jesus. If he did it to Jesus, don't you think he's going to try to do it to us? We're way weaker than Jesus. As we serve the Lord, the enemy will send distractions. As we are obedient, God uses us, the distractions, and everything to his glory. And I misprinted something. And all to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So he's going to use it. He's going to use every bit of it to his glory as we are called according to his purpose. So we just need to just remember to trust and obey, for it's the only way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. How are we doing at obeying God today? Are we obeying the things we know to do? And if we are we doing it out of a love relationship with him? And if we are, God will take care of all the rest. We just need to keep going forward. Amen? How have you done it obeying Jesus to salvation? Whenever he's maybe tapped your heart and said, you know, it's time for you to surrender your life to me. Has anybody ever experienced that? Have you ever felt that urge? That's the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart. And whenever he does that, he wants us to repent of our sins. Say, I don't want to live that way anymore. He wants us to repent of our sins. It has to be the first step. He wants us to repent of our sins. Yes, I did repeat that three times. Because it is necessary. And then he wants us to turn to Jesus and call on him to be our master, our Lord. Master means we do what he says. And it's going to be the rest of your life, no matter how long you live, there's going to be a struggle and a tension there. The tension between the two. But we must decide to follow Jesus. And if we do, he is real. He is there. He saves us. He did rise on the third day, folks. After having died to pay for our sins, after having lived a perfect life, he rose on the third day, and he went back to heaven, and he's making intercession for us right now, and he is coming back. The day he comes back, I want you to be counted among the number. It could be today. So don't put it off. If God's touching your heart, turn your life over to Christ. Do it. If you've already done that, then I rejoice with you. We're saved. We're together. We're brothers and sisters in the faith. Maybe he wants you to join the church too. That is a step that he calls us to take sometimes. He definitely wants us to be baptized. He definitely wants us to identify with a particular church so that we can grow. And so I pray for you today that you'll just obey God. Don't be surprised when the distractions come Monday morning. It will happen. Just obey God some more. Amen? Let me pray for you. Dear God, as we go into this song of invitation, whatever's on people's hearts, I pray that we'll bring it to the throne of grace. We can pray where we're standing or sitting. We can bring it to the altar and pray at these steps. We might want to pray with somebody else. It may be something that we feel compelled to announce to the church. Somebody here may be wanting to join the church today or turn their life over to Christ. But Lord, whatever it may be, I just pray we'll obey. I know in items in my own life, when I don't obey, I just get stuck right there until I obey. A lot of stuck people. Just stuck. Marking time, wanting to move forward, but can't. I pray that we'll just review in our heart what was the last thing you called us to do and go back to there and start again. Help us, Lord, I pray. You're not going to change. It's us that has to change. I pray that we'll be willing in Jesus' name. Amen.